Bible prophesied of a unique time on earth. Israel would be returned to her land, the church would turn to false doctrines, technology would increase, and wickedness and immorality would run rampant. The time spoken of so long ago has come. Join Charlie Garrett as he breaks down these events for us as they unfold each week.
Okay, today is 7 May. It's Sunday. It's time for the prophecy update of the week. And, you know, I often highlight somebody at the beginning of a update. And today I'm not going to do that because the guy from Mongolia gave me an update on his son. And it's long enough where we have a Mongolia section to read today. So I'm just going to read you about his son. Then he's going to have some more for us next week, I believe. But he says, as of right now, along with all of your donations, and this is for everybody in this church and everybody that has given from out watching via YouTube, okay? The ones here, he has made $11,000. That has paid for all expenses, the money he needs to bring him for emergencies, his plane ticket, passport, all his supplies, and his full amount of $4,750 for Teen Missions International. This is our first year, so well blessed for sure, he says. God is so awesome. This is the father that's telling me this. But please let them know all this extra money came in from you. And I kid you not, even more here 2 days after your last donation. So somebody was giving even after we had closed things out. And it couldn't have come at a better time. His plane ticket cost $900 round trip. His passport was $160. His supplies costed about $1,500, along with his $1,000 needed cushion, which I explained to you all. And since God has blessed him so greatly, listen to what they've done. Oh, I tell you, I read this and my hair, it's doing it again. It's standing up all over me. It says, he will be blessing another teen that couldn't get the rest of what he needed, which is about $500. So that teen can be fully funded as well. And then the rest will be saved until he returns safely home. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, he says. So praise the Lord. Amen. Thank everybody that gave to this boy that was willing to do that. And it's something that is very, very wonderful in my eyes that this has happened. And as we're talking about giving right now, I was only going to say this for the people in the church and not online, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's a girl that I know that's a Facebook friend. She is a very strong Christian. She's in the Philippines and she needs a hysterectomy. And it's a costly, to us it would be nothing, but to them it's going to be about, I didn't write the numbers down today. It just came to my mind right now, but I think it's about $1,400. And she, some people that I know gave to her, and I sent some as well yesterday, 2 days ago. And so she's up $700 of that. So she needs about $700 more in order to have this. And if she doesn't have it, it could be, you know, when you have a hysterectomy, it's generally because it's either precancerous or it's cancerous, and it needs to be taken out. So if anybody wants to help in that way, just let me know. I can tell you how to send it to her Western Union if you send me an email, or if you want to give something specifically to her, send it to me and I'll send it on. This church does not have a bank account. And so if you ever send anything, you cannot send it to the Superior Word. It has to be to an individual. So send me an email and I'll tell you what to do about that. But I will always provide a receipt. And just so you know, that's something that just came to mind, and she's $700 away from that. And one way or another, she's going to get it. We're going to get it to her. But if anybody wants to help with that. Our first category, as always, is Israel. And last week, I included a journey to Mount Tabor, which I put at the end of the prophecy update. It was from our friends Sergio and Rhoda, who have moved back to Israel, and they're living there in anticipation of moving back to America once he gets his company established. And it got great, great reviews. People emailed me. They thanked me. I send those all on to Sergio. That meant a lot to him because they really did not want to leave America. And as long as they're in Israel, they're going to try to bless this church and the people on both the sermons and the prophecy updates as well. So at the end of this video, I will include this week's video from him, which is continuation from Mount Tabor. They drove through the Jezreel Valley, and they went to Tel Megiddo, which is the Mount of Megiddo, which overlooks from the other direction the Jezreel Valley, where the Battle of Armageddon will, there will be people lined up in there that will be you know, eventually
awesome.
Wiped out. Yeah.
He's
so
a very professional.
He does a great job, doesn't he? So he has that. That will be at the end of this video in case you want to see that. And then from Israel, I have something to tell you that is very important. It's very relevant to the world we're living in right now. Is that Israel just this week celebrated its 69th anniversary. 69th, that means it's in its 70th year, and that was last week that they celebrated, or just this week that they celebrated their 69th anniversary. And I want everybody here to know that this week, this Friday, the 12th of May, will be their 70th anniversary. And you say, how can that be? It was just a week ago, it was the 69th. It's because the Bible goes by a 360-day calendar. It does not go, the 365-day calendar was introduced, it's the Julian calendar, then we have the Gregorian calendar. The Bible always goes by a 360-day calendar. If you do the math, from 14 May of 1948, okay, which is when they were established as a nation, and you multiply it, the number of years, what it comes out to is 25,200 days, from which is 70 biblical years. 70 years times 360 is 25,200 days. It brings you to next Friday, or this coming Friday. It'll be 12 May, and so I want everybody to know that we are in the 70th prophetic year of Israel's history. Forget the current calendar. Forget all of the rabbinic teachings about what year we're in, where they say it's, I think, 59, 70, or 56, 77 or something. It's not. They have hidden 200 and some years in the Old Testament. We are right, very close, either before or after, within a couple of years of the year 6000 from the creation of the world. And we are now in the 70th year, as of Friday, of Israel becoming a nation, according to the biblical 360-day calendar. So please know that we are in a wonderful time. I'm not trying to speculate. I'm not a rapture date setter. I don't like that. But I want everybody here to know that there is something that God is doing, and he lets us know through the nation of Israel. It's the 70th year. Okay, our first article this week is from the Jerusalem Post on Israel's 69th birthday, which is now going to be its 70th birthday, but population reaches 8.68 million, okay, in Israel. Now, think of this, because what does it say in the book of Zechariah about the population of Israel during the tribulation? Two-thirds are going to be killed. Two-thirds. That is, you're almost at 9 million people here. That means that two-thirds of the population, or 6 million people, are going to die because they have failed to call on Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we continue to tell the people of Israel about Jesus. We've got our friend Sergio and Rhoda over there right now. Her father is a pastor. They've got all kinds of Christians in their family that get the word out. Sergio certainly does that everywhere he goes. He tells somebody about Jesus. You know, he just radiates Jesus when he's talking to people. So, the word needs to get out because many, many are not going to survive. But the country is rapidly approaching the tipping point where the majority of the world's Jews will be living in Israel. As the country celebrates its 69th birthday a couple days ago, the Central Bureau of Statistics announced that the Jewish state today has 10 times more Jews than at its founding. The Jewish population represents 6.484 million, 74.7% of the total. The Arab population stands at 1.808 million, which is 20.8% of the country's inhabitants. The remaining 4.5% represent non-Arab Christians and people of other religions, as well as those with no religious affiliation. The vast majority of them are from the former Soviet Union. The report cited that at the founding of the state in 1948, there were 11.5 million Jews in the world, of whom 6% were living in Israel. In contrast, in 2015, there were 14.411 million Jews in the world, 43% who were living in Israel. So the number is almost at the tipping point. And wonderful stuff to read and to see how that country has developed. From Behold Israel, Israel at 69, economy growth of 62% since 2000. Since the year 2000, they've grown 62% with 8.68 million citizens. Israel's GDP has reached over $300 billion, a GDP per capita of $36,000 for each individual. And that's really good. I got to tell you, Israel ranked 24 out of 187 countries. Good job, Israel. From the Jerusalem Post, U.S. anti-Semitic incidents jumped 86% at the beginning of 2017. Don't worry, next article. Ynet, Ashkelon hacker officially charged 2,000 threats to Jewish centers around the world. So you can take that 86% and drop it way, way down. One guy in Israel, a Jew, was making those false claims. And so anyway, the 18-year-old, he's a dual Israeli-American. Then the thing that really bothers me is every photo you see of this guy, he's got a shirt over his head and he won't let anybody see his face. They should not allow that. They should never, not in America, not anywhere. If somebody has committed a crime, they need to be exposed for what they've done. Anyway, I don't like seeing that. He's from Ashkelon, who was accused of making thousands of threatening phone calls to Jewish institutions around the world, has been officially charged in Israel. The young man was also officially indicted in the U.S., in Florida, and Georgia for making 245 threatening calls and giving false information to the police. So I'm glad they got him. Our current administration helped in getting that guy. So good job there, President Trump. From the Jerusalem Post, top IDF officer. This is kind of interesting if you think about it. North Korea tensions could impact Israel security. Why on the other side of the world would that affect Israel? Well, the guy gives us a reason. The officer referred to the developing diplomatic rift between the U.S. and the peninsula following North Korea's recent and defiant attempts to extend its nuclear activity, despite repeated warnings from the West. Israel could bear the brunt of such an escalation in the relations between Washington and Pyongyang, should it occur, because the U.S. would, and there's no doubt, our military has been so demoralized and reduced by our previous crummy president that we are at a point where we cannot take care of more fires than we used to, as many fires as we used to. We're going to have to divert resources. He says the U.S. would have to divert security resources from the Middle East to Korea. He also revealed new information regarding the most serious incident to take place between Israel and Syria in years. On March 17th, IAF jets were targeted by Syrian missiles. An attack the IDF responded to immediately. However, the senior officer revealed that not only did the IDF launch an Arrow missile interceptor to shoot down the Syrian missile, it also destroyed 100 Syrian missiles that were on their way to Hezbollah in Lebanon. According to the officer, this action against the Syrian regime was not the first time Israel's operated against its northern neighbor in recent years. Israel usually refrains from publicly discussing airstrikes it reportedly carried out in Syria, but it confirmed the one that took place on March 17th. So we've got a couple things going on. They're trying to stress that there is almost a war going on where Syria is being or Israel's being threatened by Syria. And they're stressing that because if we go taking resources and sending them away from the Middle East, Israel, that will only increase. And so that's why they tied those two thoughts together. We need to just continue. My last prayer, and I say it from time to time, is always before I go to sleep. My last prayer is always for Israel. Lord, open their eyes, protect Jerusalem, protect Israel. And someday it's not going to be that way because they're going to be on their own in the world. And as I said, 2/3 are going to not make it through the fire. From Ynet, U.S. Senate, and this is something I wasn't aware of. This was back on 17 April. It really didn't make any of the news services. U.S. Senate unanimously warns UN to stop targeting Israel. Unanimous. All 100 U.S. senators signed a letter to the U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres urging him to act against discrimination against the U.N. The letter contained a warning that the U.N. had better change its habitual discrimination against Israel, reminding Guterres that while the USA remains the main financial contributor to the organization, it is not afraid to act against it. The letter went on to say that the U.S. expected to see a change in the World Forum and its institutions vis-a-vis its treatment of Israel through words and actions. We urge you to ensure that Israel is treated neither better nor worse than any other U.N. member in good standing, the letter said. This is from the U.S. Senate. 100 of 100 senators signed it. It is amazing, and they're tired of it. But guess what? Guess what? Next article. Fox, UN ignores unanimous Senate to pass anti-Israel measure, passed this past week. A letter from President Trump, backed by all 100 U.S. senators, was not enough to dissuade the UN from passing its latest resolution criticizing Israel. The resolution passed Tuesday by UNESCO. It's the subdivision of the UN, which is totally anti-Israel. It's labeled Israel an occupying power and called on the Jewish state to cease persistent archaeological work in East Jerusalem. So they condemned them again. And then the next article from the Times of Israel, UN chief vows to stand up against anti-Israel bias and anti-Semitism. This is that guy, U.S. Secretary Guterres, vowed to stand up against anti-Israel bias at the World Organization and said the Jewish state must be treated like any other member state. Well, guess what? That was before this vote this past Tuesday. And so nothing is being done. Nothing is changing. The UN head does not have all of the authority you think he does in these matters. These little subdivisions, if they want to pass these things, they're going to. My guess is that they're going to lose funding from the U.S. over this. Israel did defund them another $1 million this week. I may include that next week just to remind you of it. But I would hope that we would stop completely, no money at all to UNESCO, and a much, much reduced payment to the United Nations in total. That's what I think. Or just pull out of the United Nations completely. Okay, Christian news today, and I was negligent at the beginning of the update because I was looking at the Mongolia thing, but we have some people that have, this is the third time now they've done this, is we have Matt and Dee. They came all the way from Melbourne today, and that's a long drive to attend church, and that means the whole world to us, so we thank you very much for making that effort. And, you know, if you would let me know in advance, we could have you stay at our place, or we could, you know, bring out a red carpet or something, because this is really wonderful, you guys. So thank you very much for that. And our Christian headline today, I subtitled this Building Diving Boards, because every one of these people is building diving boards so that they can flip off into the lake of fire. This is the, you know, this is just what people do. They would rather make a glamorous entrance into hell than to come humbly to the throne of grace and to petition the Lord for his mercy. So this is building diving boards. From the Daily Wire, this person is building a beautiful diving board. Okay, he is really going to pay for what he's doing. Meet the left's new hero, a Christian doctor killing innocent babies in the name of Christ. He's saying, I'm doing this because it's a Christian thing to do. Willie Parker, yes, believes he's doing the Lord's work when he kills unborn babies in the womb with his own capable hands, he says. The self-proclaimed Christian who is building diving boards, he is not a Christian, he's on his way to the lake of fire, who not only acts as an abortionist but incessantly advocates for abortion by invoking his faith, views his Mississippi abortion clinic as a ministry. What? You imagine this guy, how mentally perverted this person is. The abortionist's main argument, which is steeped in distortion of scripture, is that pro-aborts are the ones who are compassionate and care about life, unlike callous anti-Christian pro-lifers. All right? So this is just the attitude of some people in the world today, and he's being hailed by the left. They've had him on these shows and, you know, on TV, and he's getting all this notoriety, but he's also building a diving board. From The Sun, which is a paper in England, this girl's building a diving board. Porn star angers churchgoers by declaring she is an evangelical Christian and God sees nothing wrong with her work. Yeah, her name is Camila Warnick, is one of the hottest adult movie stars in Brazil and has appeared in hundreds of these movies. She grew up in a deeply religious household but has turned to a life of porn. The actress declares she has an evangelical faith. And she doesn't believe it clashes with her career because she is a good person at heart. Man, what does it say in the Bible? The heart is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. And you think that you're building a diving board. That's what you're doing. From CCP, our famous Methodist church is building lots of diving boards. The UMC announces after that disaster with that bishop that I mentioned a week ago, announces a special session to determine church's homosexuality stance. Okay, they are determining it. They are not using, as I said last week, they're not using the word of God. Instead, they'd rather build a marvelous diving board for themselves and for all of their flock off to the lake of fire because they are not willing to hold to scripture. The UMC announced that its top legislative body will hold a special session in order to determine what stance the mainline denomination will hold on homosexuality. UMC's Council of Bishops announced that the special session of General Conference will take place February 23 through 26 in 2019. I hope we're gone by then. I hope we're gone to today, but anyway. Anyway, that'll be in St. Louis, Missouri. The purpose of this special session of the General Conference shall be limited to receiving and acting upon a report from the Council of Bishops based on the recommendations of the Commission on a Way Forward. The Council of Bishops encourages the entire church to continue, listen to this, in deep, unceasing prayer for the Holy Spirit breakthroughs for the Commission on a Way Forward and the special session of General Conference. You never will have the Holy Spirit act contrary to this word. Who wrote this word? God did. The Holy Spirit worked through men of God to give us this word. Nothing in this word will ever contradict what occurs in a church, okay? Let me make sure I said that correctly. Nothing that happens in a church should ever contradict what happens, what this is. I'm going to give you an example, which is going to upset many people. But if you are in a church, Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 14, he gives the directions for tongues, right? It says no more than three, there must be a translator, okay? How many churches have you been in that had more than three people speaking tongues? That is not of the Holy Spirit. If it was of the Holy Spirit would not be speaking more than what he said is allowed in this book. And if there's no translator, if a person is standing in the pulpit and making tongues and he doesn't translate or have a translator, it's not of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is say, does what happens in my church, whatever church you're in, does what happen match what this word says? And if it doesn't, it is not of the Holy Spirit. And we are never to petition the Holy Spirit for something that would violate this word. They are building diving boards in the United Methodist Church because they have left the straight path, which is Jesus Christ and his word. Okay? So just and do that with anything. I just pick out tongues because it's so obvious. Okay? By the way, I won't get into it. We'll save that for a Thursday night talk about tongues. Anyway, from the Christian Post, Christian University students call building diving boards, call schools biblical views on sex, gender identity, un-Christ-like. Yeah. Student club at Seattle Pacific University recently protested against the Christian University because it adheres to biblical views on human sexuality and gender identity. The club called SPU Haven, which must mean something like Building Diving Boards Haven, anyway, which advocates for gay students, claims that the university's statement on human sexuality is unethical, unscientific, and un-Christ-like. The university statement on sexuality says, "We believe it is the context of the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman that the full expression of sexuality is to be experienced and celebrated, and that such a commitment is part of God's plan for human flourishing." You're not going to have children any other way, right? I mean, you can have children not being married, but I'm talking about male and female. All this other stuff, it's not going to happen.
But
this so,
is not perversion.
No, yeah. The whole thing, everything they say, and these it's sick. Yeah. Building diving boards. From Islam today, from the tower. Fakistinian terrorist. Oh, I'm so happy to read this to you. If you have followed her at all, what's her name? Rasmia O'Day. Anybody know who she was? All right. Well, then it won't mean as much to you, but what a horrible person. Fakistinian terrorist Rasmia O'Day admits she lied to become a U.S. citizen and she is to be deported. A Fakistinian terrorist who participated in two bombings in Israel in 1969 pleaded guilty to lying on her immigration form to the United States. O'Day agreed to a plea deal last month under which she will be deported from the U.S. to Jordan but avoid jail time. She was convicted by an Israeli court in 1970 of bombing a Jerusalem supermarket on behalf of the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine, or Fakistan, in 1969, killing university students Edward Joffe and Leon Connor, and injuring nine other people. She was sentenced to life in prison over that attack, as well as a bombing of the British consulate. Exhibits presented at her trial included physical evidence such as bomb-making material that was found in her bedroom by Israeli police. O'Day was released. Now, this is why these prisoner exchanges are so, so bad. We would never want to do this. They need to stop this in Israel. They need to just execute all people that commit terrorist acts and be done with it. But she was released in a prisoner exchange between Israel and the PFLP in 1980, then immigrated to the United States in 1995 and applied for citizenship in 2004. She did not mention her conviction and membership in a terrorist organization on her citizenship application form and an interview with an immigration officer. Now, my thought was, and I seriously thought this, they probably held this until after Obama was out, because he probably would have pardoned her. Because here she is. I think they probably intentionally wanted to get this scum of humanity out of America, and they waited because this guy would have done that. Yes.
Is that the same woman that orchestrated that march in D.C.?
Yes. Not the same woman, but she has orchestrated marches. She's, you know, all Black Lives Matter stuff and all of that. But Israeli lives don't matter. It's not that woman, but it is somebody that also participates in those type of things. Okay, from Front Page Mag, PC Pentagon, our politically correct Pentagon, caves to CAIR, which is the Muslim people, CAIR, the Council on Alliance of Islamic Relations or whatever. They agree to review anti-terror training program. The Pentagon has agreed to formally review an anti-terror training program taught to special forces by a private contractor for material deemed offensive to Islam and Muslims. Well, who is it that's blowing people up all over the world? And that's who you target in your terror program, right? Even though the Muslim group that lodged a complaint against the allegedly Islamophobic program has been accused by the Justice Department of supporting terrorism and is currently banned from outreach activities by the FBI. So they complained, even though they're banned by any outreach activities, and the Pentagon says, well, we better listen to them. They all be deported, all of them. Just get rid of them. The instructor hired to teach the program says he fears his class might not get a fair hearing. Now listen to this. Because military brass have assigned the review to a Muslim military chaplain who graduated from a radical Saudi-funded Islamic school raided by federal agents after 9/11 on suspicion of terrorist activities. So they've appointed this guy in the Pentagon to review this. It makes no sense. This is how stupid we've become. It goes on, though. It gets worse. They had originally, this is the Pentagon, picked a more radical military chaplain to inspect the training materials before learning he has ties to an imam with a history of ministering to Muslims later convicted of terrorism. So they've got these people, military chaplains that are involved in terrorist activities, ministering to our soldiers, and they're letting them make policy because we have gone completely insane because our previous president allowed it. That's why. Our current president is going to get this under control. He's going to do it. He's got to do it slowly, but he is going to get this under control. And can you imagine what's going on in our Pentagon, who's supposed to be defending the citizens of the U.S.? Fox News, Venezuela illegally issued. This is really, really scary. Okay? Shall I stop flapping and read? Here we go. This is really scary. Venezuela illegally issued 10,000 passports to Syrians, Iranians, the report says. A former director of Venezuela's Office of ID, Migration, and Foreigners said that during his 17 months in the post, so this is only his 17 months, how many more have had it? The socialist government gave at least 10,000 Venezuelan passports and other documents to citizens of Syria, Iran, and other Middle Eastern countries. He said most passports and visas were granted in the Venezuelan consulate in Damascus, Syria's capital. Today, he says, we don't know where these people are, nor what are they doing. I tell you where they are. They're right here. They're right down the road from wherever you are in the U.S., and they're getting ready to destroy you. We don't know where they are, said Medrano, who currently resides in the United States. They can be anywhere in the world, traveling with Venezuelan documentation, adding that the number of Middle East individuals with irregular Venezuelan documentation could be much larger. Medrano said the passports were legitimate, but the people carrying them were not Venezuelans. Tell me that is not a terribly scary thing, that these Venezuelans coming in and out of the U.S. at, you know, just anytime they want, they stay, they build bombs, they destroy lives. Okay, Mongolia. I had a really important article about yaks. You know, the yak is but I had to put that aside. My friend sent it to me from England, and I had to put that aside because this is much more important. This is from the Schmooze. Okay, Yiddish song performed on Mongolia version of American Idol. Yes, a Yiddish song. Her name is Amalia Reuven. She performed an excellent rendition of Moshe Nadir's The Rebbe Eli Melech on the Mongolian TV show Universe Best Songs. Amalia Reuven, who lives in the Mongolian capital of Ulaanbaatar, where she works as an English teacher, specializes in the music of Mongolia and Tibet. And I'll stop right there and I'll tell you, I subscribe to her channel. She sings in Tibetan, she sings in Mongolian, and she does it perfectly. Now, I don't speak either language. It's Greek to me, so I could be wrong, but it is beautiful. It is beautiful to listen to this lady sing. Anytime a new song comes out, I'm going to listen to it.
And
she has her own channel. It's I'll tell you what it is in just a second. But she's comfortable speaking both Mongolian and Tibetan. Rubin is well known in Tibet and among the Tibetan diaspora as one of the few Western women who sings traditional songs in that language. Besides Tibetan and Mongolian, she performs in a wide range of languages, including Hindi, Thai, Ladino, Hebrew, and Chinese. Her performance on Universe Best Songs was accompanied by traditional Mongolian musicians. And you can click on it and you can listen to it. It's great. She did a great job. It's the Rebbe Eli Melech. And she sings it in Yiddish, and it starts real slow like they do, and then it gets bump, 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 and they're playing these Mongolian things, and it's just, it was very good. So let's see here. Where was I? Although one judge critiqued her and the musicians for not having practiced together enough, it is clear from the audience's reaction that they greatly enjoyed the song. So if you want to subscribe to her, it's Amalia Sings. That's her YouTube channel, AmaliaSings, Amalia Sings. And she is really good at that Tibetan stuff. Wow. Daniel 12 Technology. I entitled this Down in the Mouth. Okay, and you'll understand why as we go through it. From CBS, UTA professor invents breath monitor to detect the flu. It's a revolutionary device that makes it possible to diagnose flu cases at home. Okay? Yes. Now, because this is so easy and it's going to be so affordable, somebody is going to buy it and hide it because you know the medical industry. But just so you know, this is now out there. University of Texas Arlington professor Dr. Perina Gouma invented a flu breathalyzer. I think it's going to save a lot of people a lot of trouble and a lot of money. That's why I think it's not going to happen if somebody's going to squelch it. But now someone has to go to the doctor's office and the virus can infect other people. It might be an unnecessary visit if they don't have the flu. The method to diagnose the flu virus takes around a half an hour. Right now, basically, we're using a nasal swab to detect the flu in all ages. Excuse me. It can be uncomfortable and cumbersome. I know because I went and had a flu swab just about 3 months ago when I was deathly sick and I didn't have the flu. Whatever I had, it was bad, but it was really uncomfortable getting that swab. This is going to take care of all of that. It can be cumbersome, especially for the kids. With the breathalyzer sensors, which are smaller than a grain of rice, zero in on chemical in the breath. Dr. Gouma says it can pinpoint the virus in just milliseconds. Instead of waiting 30 minutes, milliseconds. Clinical trials still have to be done, but the hope is for the breathalyzer to eventually be available in drugstores and to the public. All right, from the Sun, new chewing gum. Remember, we're down in the mouth. New chewing gum can detect cancer by analyzing your spit. Yes, the gum will measure specific chemicals in the spit released when a person has cancer. It absorbs what are known as volatiles in a person's saliva as they chew. It's then analyzed to determine if it contains specific chemicals produced in the body when a person has cancer. Volatile organic compounds are produced by the body when cancer invades. These compounds are unique to each type of cancer, and therefore, based on the analysis of the gum, doctors will be able to pinpoint which type of cancer a patient has. They choose chewing gum because it stays in the mouth for an extended period of time, allowing the compounds to be picked up, and it is durable enough to withstand testing. And it's also yummy, so there you go. One more, mail online, once again, down in the mouth. How pine tree bark could revolutionize your trip to the dentist. Scientists discover root extract can strengthen teeth and make fillings last for longer. Go out to your pine tree, break off some bark, chew on it. Good for you. Yeah. The root alters the chemical structure of teeth to make them stronger. I'll bet you animals know this, and I bet you they chew on those. And I bet you that's why animals have such glossy, white, and strong teeth. All right. Anyway, tests show the tree extracts can increase the strength of dentine by up to 10 times. Amazing. Okay. Revelation plagues today. Okay. Revelation plagues today. This is just... Here we go. From the week. Think of the end times. Here we are. I'm thinking of my son who was sitting back there playing with this device last week when I was talking about devices and he didn't even know I was talking about him until he, huh? Here we go. Five. 5 new brain disorders that were born out of the digital age. Yes, and think this is end time stuff. Brain disorders, crazy people, apocalypse, zombie attacks, all of that kind of stuff. Here we go. The first one, nomophobia. Nomophobia. It means no mobile phobia or nomophobia. The feeling of panic one has being separated from one's phone or tablet. In one survey, 73%, I see some head shaking back there, 73% of respondents felt panic when they misplaced their phone. Another 14% that panic spiraled into pure desperation. Okay, nomophobia. Number two, technoference. End time stuff here. Technoference. Tech devices interrupt their leisure time. Remember I talked last week about children not getting sleep? Conversations and meals with their significant other. I will stop right here, and I will say that I was at the Word of Mouth over here, which is a breakfast place for people that are attending online. If you come to Sarasota, go to Word of Mouth. You'll love it. I was there with my friend. I think it was Paul that day, and a family walked in, husband, wife, and 2 children. They walked in. They sat at their table, and all 4 of them had a mobile device, and not one of them said one word to each other, not once during the entire time waiting for the meal. The meal came. They ate and gobbled down their food playing. There was a little talk between them, not much, and then when they were done burping and everything, while waiting for the last one to finish, back on their phones, never said a word to each other. Technoference. Okay, we're going to go on. It says, not surprisingly, higher technoference correlated directly with lower relationship and life satisfaction. Don't be technofeared, okay? 3, the phantom ring. Anybody here have the phantom ring? The perception that one's mobile device is ringing, or more precisely vibrating, when in fact it is not. Anybody get that? Yeah. This is end time stuff here. How about cyberchondria? Terrible disease. Cyberchondria refers to people who research and diagnose their own illnesses online, which is fine, but for some people who might already be prone to hypochondria, this can be detrimental. They get neurotic and go down a Google wormhole, frantically reading about every dreaded disease that matches their symptoms. A search for abdominal pain brings up diagnoses that include everything from food poisoning to stomach cancer, and soon the Googler is convinced they are dying. So that's cyberchondria, end time stuff here. And we have one more. We have one more. Just one. The Truman Show delusion. Yep. Has anybody seen The Truman Show here? Okay, Truman Show has more hints of Christianity in it than any movie I've ever seen. There are more hints of Christianity. You've got the resurrection in the boat. His arms are out. He comes back out of the water. You've got the guy Christoph, who is in charge of the thing. His name is Christoph, which is Christ. He says, I am your father from heaven, this voice. You go through that movie, there is more Chris.
Is it mockingly?
No, it's just whoever did it knew the Bible. Whether they are Christians or not or whatever, I have no idea. All I can tell you is there are more hints. You watch that movie again and just watch for hints of Jesus, hints of Christianity, and you are going to be amazed. Anyway, Truman Show delusion. All right, here we go. This is very serious. End time stuff. The false perception that their lives are being broadcast. Anybody ever had that one? I used to have that when I was a kid. I used to think the world was following me and broadcasting me. I did. I really did. Anyway, I was maybe watching something on TV and thinking that's happening to me. Anyway, it is a product of our overly connected reality TV obsessed social media driven lifestyles that nurture our most narcissistic qualities, which must be me. Okay, so the resulting delusions aren't real, but they certainly aren't random. They're a half skip past reality, a snippet of the world taken and blown out of proportion. So these are 5 diseases they have actually identified. People suffer with them. And when we get into the end times, this is going to be something that's really going to affect people. So there you go. From Breitbart, meth seizures. Meth seizures are up. Guess how much in Bangladesh?
Oh, in Bangladesh.
80,000%. Yes, you talk about end time stuff. The word pharmakia is used in the book of Revelation for sorceries. Well, what is the word pharmakia? It's pharmacy, right? Where does that come from? People are having delusions of devils and all this. It's because of the drugs that are being introduced. It is up 80,000%. Now, listen to this. In Bangladesh's candy-coated yaba pills take Asia by storm. 80,000%. The language of dramatic increases in soaring rate crimes common to public policy discussions seems inadequate for the meth epidemic in Bangladesh, where drug seizures in rural Islamic communities have increased by over 80,000% over 9 years. Just 9 years back, police were seizing only about 35,000 pills a year. That's like a bag. That's nothing. Okay? You could comfortably fit all of that inside a backpack. Annual seizures have since swelled to 29 million pills, an increase of more than 80,000%. That's enough meth to tweak out everyone in Texas, with plenty left over for Nebraska. The drug of choice is a little pink pill called Yaba that combines methamphetamines with caffeine. Yaba is a Thai phrase that means crazy medicine or madness drug. Side effects can include paranoia, maybe cyberchondria, or maybe Truman Show delusion. I don't know. Anyway, paranoia and violent psychosis. Consumption has risen to an estimated 2 million pills a day. Bangladeshi police are seizing so many of these pills that they had to improvise a quick and easy way to dispose of them. They came up with the idea of dumping the pills in a hole in the ground, then melting them with confiscated whiskey. So, there you go. That's the state of Revelation plagues for the day. Morality. LA Times. Las Vegas. This is a great idea, right? Great idea. Las Vegas hoping to stem HIV and hepatitis to get needle vending machines.
Oh.
Yep. Las Vegas is preparing to be the first city in the nation with vending machines dispensing clean needles in an effort to help combat the spread of hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and HIV, while also possibly leading some drug users into treatment. Three machines will be available for users starting in May. Your tax dollars hard at work. But unlike snack, soda, or movie rental machines left in open spaces, these $15,000 machines will be located inside the three facilities and would be accessed only during the hours the buildings are open for business. The guy that they interviewed said that the cost of each kit was under $10, so it's expensive, but they would be free for users. So you go in and get all your stuff, and you don't have to pay for that anymore. You get more heroin instead, right? Shoot yourself up more. Okay? Not to be outdone, Breitbart, UC Davis installs vending machine that sells morning after pill and condoms. Right in your university, kids. The machine was installed at the Campus Activities and Recreation Center during the spring break. And also includes items such as condoms, feminine hygiene products, lubricant, and over-the-counter allergy pills and pain relievers. I think these are just basic resources that students need on campuses. You know, kill a baby from a vending machine. Most college students are sexually active, and these resources should be provided to them. Your money hard at work, folks. KTXL reports that UC Davis is one of four campuses in the nation to provide this type of access to emergency contraception. Plan B became available to women without a prescription starting in 2013 under Obama. So, and I have one more for you, just the title. Everybody know who Bill Nye, the science guy, is?
Oh, yeah.
That guy needs to be culled from the flock. He is horrible. Listen to this. Fox News. Let's penalize people for having extra kids. That's his outrageous idea. So he wants to penalize. This is why you never, ever vote for anybody on the left. Even if you don't like the guy on the right, never vote for anybody on the left, because they've done this in China. They've killed 360 million babies, as we saw. They did this in America. We're up to almost 60 million in America, right? You let somebody on the left in charge of your government, you are inevitably going to have peanut headitis like this, where you have too many children and now you have to pay extra for it. Who determines what's too many? Go to the Amish people and they have, what, 40 children and they're happy and they're productive and they make a living for people. They build wonderful work. Is that what about the person that has two children that leaves them neglected and goes out and smokes heroin? What is too much and who decides? Bill Nye. Okay, our other category, Fox News. Trump's first 100 days gets an A from Wall Street, a B from Main Street. Well, B, Main Street can go shut up. From Fox News, Home Depot co-founder Bernie Marcus. Home Depot co-founder. Trump's a winner for small businesses. Good job. Breitbart, Trump, illegal immigration down by an unprecedented 73%. I read an article yesterday that people are now applying, and I may read it tomorrow or next week just so that you don't think I'm making it up, but they are applying to stay in Mexico now. These people from Central America, because they're scared of what's happening in America, So Mexico gets to keep them. Okay. If they want to come here, they can apply and come legally. Right. That's fine. You know what? Some of the hardest working people I know on this planet are the Mexicans that live here in Sarasota, Florida, that have become citizens, that have their own little businesses. They work hard. They work ethically. They are wonderful people. But the people that are here illegally, they're naturally disposed to being illegal in everything they do because they're already not legal. So they steal and they let them come in legally, and they will always be productive, wonderful people. All right. From Breitbart, EPA removes climate science website, announces changes to reflect Trump admin. He sent them a directive. You will remove all climate science junk, and they did. And they're probably gritting their teeth over it. But guess what? Those jobs are going to be going pretty soon, too. The people he's appointed in charge of every one of his cabinets hates the cabinet that they are over. He did that on purpose, and they are going to start reducing numbers in our government. They're going to get rid of these people. We got to keep this guy in prayer because there is a deep state and a big government that does not like what he is doing, and they will fight him tooth and nail, and they may try to, nix him sometime, some CIA person. We got to get rid of this guy because he's cutting us out. We need to keep him in prayer. He's a wonderful president so far. From Front Page Mag, Trump, you brought this up, and I was waiting to read it to you. Here we go. And the guy that I'm, the people online that are watching, we have Bob that opens us on some Sundays, and then Paul does on some Sundays, and Bob was talking about this issue, and I almost jumped out of my seat and said, I'm going to be talking about that, but I waited. So here we go. Trump, freedom is not a gift from government. Freedom is a gift from God. President Trump assured NRA members in the strongest terms that the 8-year war of the Obama admin on the Second Amendment was over. Yes, the 8-year assault on your Second Amendment freedoms has come to a crashing end. No longer will federal agencies be coming after law-abiding gun owners. No longer will the government be trying to undermine your rights and your freedoms as Americans. We've also moved very quickly to restore something gun owners care very much about, very, very much. It's called the rule of law. We have made clear that our admin will always stand with the incredible men and women of law enforcement. Remember Sheriff Joe that went up and he went to get that guy, and without knowing any of the facts, he says Sheriff Joe acted stupidly when he acted according to the law, and the person that he was a miscreant. But this was our previous president. In all ways, the law enforcement is bad. All of these black lives that are thugs and, you know, ought to be in jail, they matter when, in fact, they should be in jail. I'm not saying all black lives are. I'm talking about the people that commit crimes. But to him, all he saw was color. That's all he saw. And he was not willing to say, because you're black and you're stealing from somebody, that's wrong. He would not do that. And now we have somebody that will once again have, you know, he'll be colorblind. He's just going to enforce the rule of law. In fact, countless members of law enforcement are also members of the NRA because our police know that responsible gun ownership saves lives and that the right of self-defense is essential to public safety. Our police and sheriffs also know that when you ban guns, what you were talking about, only the criminals will be armed. So let me, or government, government, and then you're really in bad shape. So let me make a simple promise to every one of the freedom-loving Americans in the audience. As your president, I will never, ever infringe on the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Never, ever. Freedom is not a gift from government. Freedom is a gift from God. Thank you, Donald Trump. I support you. You have my fullest support at this point. Get away from Trump. Mail online. Putin, I don't know if you read this, but this is just plain scary if it's true. Putin is planning deep sea mole nukes near the United States capable of causing a tsunami, Russian military expert claims. Viktor Barants, a former colonel, revealed ways Russia tries to outsmart the United States. We can see their incoming missiles as soon as they're fired off. They do not have that technology. If we fire, they have minutes to make a decision. We have all of the time in the world from, you know, however much time it takes to get over here to say, is this real? Is it not real? We have much better. So he is apparently, if it's true, this guy's making a claim, putting nukes out there that can't be found, and they're right down there in the sea. And if we go to war, he can just light them off and destroy all of the coastlines. It says he alleged that Russia is sinking sleeper nukes off the coast of America. In the event of war, the bombs will detonate and trigger a tsunami, he claimed. Barents also said that Putin has nukes that cannot be tracked using their trajectory. And what that means is they fly up, they fly, and we can follow it, and we know exactly from almost the moment that it starts arcing where it's going to land. Now they have where they will jut, and they'll turn, and they'll twist, and so they can land wherever they want, but they will not land where you think they're going to land because you can't track an alternating trajectory. So this is really serious. If it's true, it may just be scare tactics. I don't know, but I saw the article, and I thought you should be aware of not living on the coast, okay? So I'm moving inland very soon, okay?
Right.
All right, from Zero Hedge, 45% of Americans spend up to half their income on what? This I read this, and I just want you to know how serious this is. Half of their income, 45% of their income, repaying credit card debts. If you have a credit card and you do not pay that credit card off, you are being charged 18 to 22 or 23%. They can do this legally, and people get themselves into a box and they never get out of it. They spend the rest of their life paying half of what they make on credit cards. Now, what you need to do if you are paying a high credit card debt is you need to first cut the credit card up. You need to go to the bank and you need to ask them, I need a loan. You'll pay 3% at the bank and you pay off that credit card loan and you never have a credit card again. 24 years ago, we came back to America with my wife and we were faced with our first credit card. Oh boy. And I told her, if there's one month in our life that we don't pay this off in full, we will cut it up and we will never use it again. And we have faithfully never charged more than we could spend, and we have always paid it off. And if one time we have a bill that we can't pay, if she goes out and on a crazy Japanese shopping spree and I can't pay it, we're done. Okay? So I want you all to know this is important to me because financial responsibility is something that when I was in the military, I don't know how it is now, but if you were financially irresponsible, that was a stain on the military, and they would take away pay and deduct your stripes. Well, that makes you worse because now you can't pay off your bills. But they said, if you are not responsible with your finance, and that's been drummed into me. And so it is in my head, and it is one thing that you never want to do is have high credit card bills, all right? So got a Lesserick for you. Just in case Russia has to use Dukes, they've already allegedly planted some nukes. Seems their bombs are all the rave to make us catch a wave. It's the answer to U.S. rebukes. Good job, Les. Okay, I have two ironies of the week. And then after this, don't click off if you're watching the video. You can watch Sergio's trip to Talmagedo, okay? But irony of the week from Drudge. Very sad, but it is very ironic. Actor dies performing The Art of Murder. So, yeah, right during the performance. Okay, and from The Blaze. This is typical. This is like the 20th time this has happened. You think they'd learn, but they don't because they're on the left, and that means they have peanut heads. Monster snowstorm in Colorado forces postponement of climate change and global warming rally. So, such is the world we live in, and from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett. This is The Superior Word, and that is your prophecy update for the week.